For the Exascale Report, I'm Mike Bernhardt. The Oak Ridge National Laboratory award to Cray to build the Titan supercomputer is not only a huge win for Cray, it's a huge win for the global HPC community. This system will be truly monumental, but as you will hear from Pete Ungaro, CEO of Cray, what he finds most exciting is not just the challenge of building such an important system, it's the impact to science and industry that Titan will enable. And at the foundation of all of this, and Garrow is most proud of the long-term relationships Cray has put in place that have enabled the company to be in the position it is today. We hope you enjoy this interview with Cray CEO, Pete Ungaro. So Pete, congratulations on behalf of the entire community because of what you guys have been able to accomplish. I know it's been a long, long time. There's been a lot of work put into this, and now we're finally able to talk about Titan and all the great things that it's going to do.
I want to say thanks. It's been a long road, but it's been a great one.
So I'd like to start off by asking you what Cray has learned over the past year that you believe will enable Titan to hit its goals.
Well, you know, we know now that we can build systems of this scale. So Jaguar was roughly the same size machine, 200 cabinets. We know that we can build systems of that size and scale them up and hand them over to the researchers who can get some incredible science out of them. So we feel like this is a pretty straightforward process for us. We've been able to get our architecture, our interconnects, our software all up to this scale, and we think Titan just represents one more turn of the crank for us along that line.
But this is, this is obviously beyond anything that's taken place up to this point, and knowing how volatile we are when we start to push the envelope, why do you have such confidence that Cray can deliver on such an ambitious project, especially after what we saw with IBM, NCSA, and Blue Waters this year?
Well, I really think the key for us is that we've really built our company to be focused on delivering these kind of systems to the market. I mean, we deliver the most high-end supercomputers in the world, and so we've been able to deliver systems like this over and over again. And while you're absolutely correct that Titan's going to go a huge step beyond where we've been in the past, from a systems architecture, from a delivering the system standpoint, we believe that it's a pretty straightforward path for us. I think our sole focus on supercomputing is really the biggest area that differentiates us from our competition today. Not just about our technology, which is also pretty strong, but I think it's building a company like we've done that focuses in one part of the market and doing things like this, along with some great partnerships with our customers like Oak Ridge. We're able to do this pretty successfully, and I think we've been able to repeat it over and over again.
How about for the users, though? They're going to be exposed to, an application or development environment that in some ways might be unlike anything that they've had to deal with in the past, the programming environment for sure. What will you be able to do to help transition the users from Jaguar to Titan?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mike. And maybe even the most important part of our story and one that we spent a lot of time with Oak Ridge talking about. All the applications that today run on Jaguar will be able to be run on Titan. So there's a similar AMD Opteron computing environment, a similar programming model and such. Where the difference comes in is all the GPUs that we're adding. And so we've developed a programming model that allows users to much more easily take advantage of GPUs. So instead of, and in addition really to just using CUDA programming, which most people use today, we can take advantage of a more directives-based approach that we're using R Compiler or Portland groups. I think one big advantage to our roadmap right now with our overall vision of adaptive supercomputing, it really says that within a programming environment or programming model, we can take advantage of these different kinds of processing capabilities. In fact, we have a lot of experience that says when we start to use our programming model to code for a GPU, it actually improves its performance on a CPU. And so that's been a big leverage point for a lot of users to go through the efforts of programming for GPUs, because they know that their codes will not just run faster in systems with GPUs, but also systems with CPUs. And today, being able to be portable amongst many different machines is very important for the user community. So I think you have to have a programming environment that allows for that smooth and easy transition, but also compels the programmers or scientists to want to do the extra work to take advantage of the underlying hardware.
So I'm really glad you hit that, because I was specifically going to ask about compilers and debuggers. As you're moving into, figuring out what the production environments will look like for a system like Titan, will the compilers and the debuggers, yours, you mentioned the Portland groups, will they have to be changed and modified to a significant level in order to work for that environment?
Yeah, there's definitely work that needs to be done, and companies like us and Portland Group and Pascal and, a number of companies that we work with have been starting that work for, over a year or two now. So there's been a lot of progress in the marketplace to enable for these kinds of new hybrid architectures, especially where you have a CPU and a GPU, which is a quite different architecture than, the more traditional one where you have a couple of CPUs on a single node. So it's been something that we've worked with our partners quite a bit with over time. And we also, of course, have a lot of our own tools from compilers to debuggers to performance, toolkits and different monitoring applications that we've had to enable for this type of environment. So it is a lot of work, but the key has been to try to do that work without forcing the user to completely rewrite their entire application. So how can we do that in such a way that allows a user to bridge from one environment to the other and back and forth?
Right. So Pete, what's really different then about building a system of the size of a Titan as compared to like commodity clusters and with GPUs and so forth?
Yeah, I think, part of what goes on today is we get so focused sometimes around talking about the peak performance of the machine or the LINPACK performance of the machine that we forget that there's different types of machines and that real sustained performance is really key. And I think what makes a Cray system different than building, for instance, a 10 petaflop GPU system out of commodity components is our whole system environment. So we very tightly integrate the hardware with our software, with our interconnect, and we build that all together from a single system view, not just aggregating a lot of components from a lot of different places and trying to tie them together or integrate them, but building the system from the ground up. And I think that's what's really been, quite honestly, the success of systems like Jaguar and what I think is going to be the difference of systems like Titan in the market from people that just go out and get a bunch of fast processors or GPUs and put them together with InfiniBand.
So what impact do you see Titan actually having on science and our industry? But let's try to put this in a time frame. So will the system be up and running with users by the end of 2012 or by the time we roll up to supercomputing in 2012?
Yeah, the Oak Ridge has laid out a time frame for the system, and actually the first phase of the system is upgrading all of the system to the latest AMD Interlagos processors and our brand new Gemini interconnect, and that should be available for users in early 2012. And then we'll start to bring on the GPUs later in 2012, and it should be up for users kind of late 2012, early 2013, as that gets integrated and through its acceptance process and into the kind of Department of Energy allocation process that they use at Oak Ridge. So that's the current timeline that we have, Mike.
Then we probably are looking at somewhere in the 2013, 14, 15 timeframe to seeing some pretty significant developments based on applications finally figuring their way around the systems. And by that time, you guys will be ready for another phase of Titan Plus, won't you?
Yeah, you know what was one of the interesting things that happened with Jaguar is within the first couple weeks of Jaguar being up, even before it got through its acceptance process, we already have world record science being done on the machine. So I think one of the big differences that that Oak Ridge has done with their user community is they have a great team there that works very closely with our team at Cray that help enable their scientists to really take advantage of the machine right when it comes up. So I will be really disappointed if we don't have some breakthrough science even next year before the machine's fully into production. So I know that they're working very hard with their science teams around that, and I expect that we'll have a lot of success there. So hopefully we won't have to wait to 13, 14, or 15, but we do already have some ideas of what Titan Plus might look like.
Okay. Yeah. I spoke with Jack Wells at Oak Ridge the other day, and I spoke with Steve Scott now down at NVIDIA. And, you know, I get the sense that, and I know there's other players involved. I don't mean to exclude other companies, but from the three of you as the hub of what's going on here, I sense higher level of enthusiasm and energy and excitement than I've seen with many projects over the past years. It just seems to me, someone looking at this from the outside, that you guys do have an unusually good synergy established between Oak Ridge, NVIDIA, and Cray. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I would agree. I would actually throw AMD and a couple other companies into that mix, but I definitely agree with that. We've had a long-term partnership that we've established with Oak Ridge, and as we went from kind of one machine generation to the next, I think that that's really started to build a cohesiveness, not just between the vendor community, companies like Cray and AMD and NVIDIA and such, with company, with an organization like Oak Ridge, but also out and extending out into the user community. And so we've had so many opportunities to spend direct time with the people using these machines and understanding what their needs are. So when we bring the next machine out, it's even more ready for what the user community needs. So I believe Titan is going to be a big step forward, not just in performance, but also in functionality that the user community needs to be very successful within the Office of Science. So I'm pretty excited about it. I can't wait. And, building machines like this is something that, makes me get up in the morning. So I'm pretty excited, and I know our partners are too.
So Pete, some people are already in the press making a big deal out of Titan being able to challenge Japan for the title of the world's fastest supercomputer. And I have to ask you, is this really even important?
Well, if you measure the world's fastest supercomputer as what is number one on the top 500 list, I actually don't believe that that's very important. I would tell you clearly that's not a goal of ours at Cray, and I could tell you that's not the goal of Oak Ridge or the Department of Energy. I think what's really important is being the system that delivers the world-class science off the machine. So how can we find alternative energy sources, and what systems, what simulations can we do? How realistic can we make those simulations that can convince us about developing alternative energy sources, or about understanding climate change and the impacts of policy on climate change, energy policy on climate change. Those are things that are going to really be a difference maker for us. Curing cancer on a supercomputer would be, something that I think is way more important than being number one on the top 500 list. Not to say that isn't a great thing too, but just saying that it's very important. One of the things that Jaguar has done is, the first system in the world to sustain petaflop-style performance across a set of applications. So there's five applications right now that are running at over a petaflop of performance on Jaguar, which is pretty amazing. I think that number is going to grow quite immensely when we get to Titan.
Fantastic. Very well said. I've been saying for some time that if we really are serious in this country about ending the nation's dependence on oil, that we should be putting more money into exascale research, less into offshore drilling. But I don't want to make a political statement, of course. But I'm also very excited about the potential that's sitting out there with this, and I wish you all the luck in the world, and we'll check back in with you on a regular basis to report. Is there anything else that at this time that you'd like to say to the user community regarding Titan?
You know, Mike, I just want to thank you for the interview, and say, you know, obviously this is a huge milestone for Cray. Has a big impact on our company overall, and we couldn't be happier for what, you know, what this machine's going to do, and even more so, super excited to be able to deliver it to Oak Ridge in the Office of Science. So thanks a lot for the interview, and I appreciate the time.
Fantastic. Thank you, Pete. We'll talk again soon. You've been listening to an interview with Cray CEO Pete Ungaro. For the Exascale Report, I'm Mike Bernhardt.